radio party, but in a new way. I am here at the Urology Associates of the Central Coast with a very special guest.
What's going on, everyone? This is Pranav Dadich. I'm a urologist at the Urology Associates of the Central Coast.
Dr. Dadich, we are so excited to have you here. We are talking men's health today, and we are at a urology clinic. I'm curious your thoughts on mental health. We were just talking about stigma and, you know, men kind of not checking up on themselves. Is that a problem you see often, or is that something you see going away as kind of that stigma erases?
I think it's improving a lot. I think there's this generation of men, and it's, you know, even not like the most common finding in them, but there's a generation of men that are like, oh, I never grew up going to a doctor. I don't need to go to a doctor. I'll just show up when there's a problem. And as just health education has improved, we have all have access to more information. I think the generational changes have been there to see more men being proactive about their health and just kind of knowing what's potentially on the horizon. So maybe it's partially like generational attitude and then partially just exposure and access to information.
Yeah, 100%. I'm curious, kind of on your side of it, on the medical side, how do you get into urology?
I kind of stumbled into it. I didn't know what it was like in college. I knew I wanted to go to medical school. You know, the only specialties that I was more familiar with were probably ones that you're more familiar with: cardiology, gastroenterology, orthopedic surgery, you know, things like that. And in medical school, I kept hearing about urology, and I went to medical school with a really strong urology program. So the exposure was there. I think that's a big piece of it as well. This is a small field, and many places, you know, you just don't get exposure. It's not a mandatory elective that you take in medical school either. But I kept hearing about it. People said that it was interesting, that this was a good career. People had pretty good lives, and they liked all the urologists that they worked with. So I randomly started doing research, you know, the summer of my first year of medical school. In fact, a urology faculty member had just reached out on our like email thread and said, hey, any med students want to do some research? And I thought, okay, you know, probably should get something on my resume. And it was in the realm of men's health and fertility and testosterone. You know, I was already interested in like nutrition, fitness, men's health in general. So that's how I initially stumbled into it and just kind of kept getting more exposure, liked what I saw. You know, you get to see a lot of the clinical side of it in terms of medical management. And then there's also, you know, some pretty hardcore surgeries that happen. So within a small field, there was a big breadth. All the people seemed happy, and I didn't find another specialty that I felt like I really gelled with as much. So that all kind of led me in. You know, the common thing that I heard during our, you know, interviews for residency where either people had stumbled into it or, you know, their father was a urologist. And, right. And that was the common pathway. That story is probably changing now as the field has gotten a bit more exposure and academic centers have done a bit more to expose medical students to it. But yeah, that was my journey into it.
So I want to ask you a question because in the first 2 minutes of our interview, you're very well spoken and comfortable in the mic. I'm curious, do you think that people that make it through medical school are well-spoken, composed, calm, or do you think that the years of education kind of makes you that way?
Hard to say. I think urology is a field where I found a lot of people that have those same qualities. I think maybe because you're talking about some more intimate subjects, it's getting a little bit more sensitive. You have to make your patients comfortable. And then throughout medical training, med school, residency, I mean, you're always giving like research talks and going to tumor boards and being questioned in front of a bunch of people that are, you know, trying to stump you. I also had a, you know, undergraduate in finance. We did a lot of public speaking. That's kind of never been an issue for me. But I think most of my colleagues, most of the people that I found in the field, they're fairly, you know, well-rounded.
100%. I want to throw it over to Kvechi Boy in the studio.
Yeah, I've got a question for you, Dr. Pranav. You might not be surprised by that information, but you mentioned testosterone for a second there, and I think that what's unique about young men today is this kind of obsession with testosterone and sex hormones. I wonder if you see that change also in your field when young men are coming into your practice and are asking if they're asking questions about this.
Yeah, I think it's a more and more kind of talked about subject matter. You know, I don't know how old you guys are. I'm 35. But I know, you know, based on just some random stuff that I see on Twitter, you know, it gets talked a lot about, and in younger generations a little bit more, this idea of like T-maxing or something. I think one, it's become more relevant because in some aspects we've gotten unhealthier as a population. We look at like activity levels, obesity rates, things of that nature, you know, what younger men are spending their time on. So maybe, you know, there is an actual search to try to improve their physiology. And that's why it's a relevant subject matter as well. I think there are now people on social media that are, you know, kind of branding themselves as people who are health influencers. And that's probably had its, you know, its intended effect in terms of trying to influence people. I don't see a ton of people here that are, let's say, 20 to 25 that are coming in to explore testosterone. Maybe that kind of grouping and age population is doing it more online and more on their own. Like they're just going to, you know, pay cash for lab orders and get that done and check on it themselves. But it, I think it's very reasonable for every guy to be interested in checking on it. I kind of, you know, look at it as like that hormone's like the life force of manhood. It has a lot of cognitive effects. It has a lot of physical effects as well. And yeah, occasionally you find young men that either because of, you know, some unexplained reason or potentially, you know, lifestyle issues can have low T, and it can really have a negative effect on your life. So I think it's certainly worth exploring. Testosterone's an interesting subject because if you look at like the normal lab value range, it's like 300 to 800, which is a huge range. Yeah. So what's normal for a 20-year-old versus a 40-year-old? Every guy's a little bit different. So we really go by the number and the symptoms that they're experiencing. And I think if you want to make an effort to improve your testosterone level, and especially if you're doing that naturally by improving your lifestyle, I mean, that's a good thing.
I'm curious because you mentioned, you know, us getting healthier in some aspects and unhealthier in different aspects. Is there a general tip that you offer every client in terms of getting healthier, whether it's mentally or physically?
This is going to sound generic, but I think, I mean, 75% of it's probably just diet and exercise.
Yeah.
Paying attention to what you eat, not eating out too much. You know, and I've been guilty of this too, but we now live in a world where at the tip of your fingers, you can get food delivered to you. You don't have to undergo the effort of making it. And certainly during, you know, the rough days of residency where you're working 14-hour days, when you get home, the last thing you want to do is cook. So, you know, and I understand there's various other careers that are in that position. But cooking your own food, I think, is very important. You know exactly what goes into it. It's not loaded with sodium. You know, you can regulate what's in there. And then making sure 3 to 4 times a week you're getting dedicated exercise. Those are two really simple things, but carving out the time to do it and dedicating yourself to it is much harder.
Do you also see places where people are maybe like totally missing the mark with trying to improve their physiology?
I don't see that much. I bet it's out there. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do to your body electively that may not be the best for your long-term health.
Yeah.
You may see some short-term gains. Certainly if you're young and you're, you know, on testosterone therapy or some other steroids, it may have some long-term impacts. It certainly can impair your fertility, do some other things to your body that you may regret for those short-term benefits. There are a lot of testosterone clinics out there that will just kind of give testosterone to anyone. Anyone that walks in that wants it. You know, it's a cash pay service. There's not that much around here.
Really?
That I've noticed. I worked in Dallas for 2 years prior to coming here. And there was like five within a 5-mile radius. But I saw a lot of patients that went to them, younger patients, older patients that, you know, they would just get testosterone, didn't know necessarily about the potential side effects, and then get referred to me after they had some sort of complication or come to me and, you know, and say, oh, I didn't know that, you know, this would impair my fertility. And now me and my wife are trying to have a child. How do we kind of get the system up and running? Yeah. So, yeah, there's some extreme things that happen. And there's an unregulated world of medicine, too.
I'm curious, you mentioning that you worked in Dallas. A friend of mine from school, from Cal Poly, that is, comes from Texas and has dealt with similar symptoms of ADHD or ADD that I have. And he was medicated hard and fast early and just like what I would imagine is like the Texas medical system. And I would feel like I was attacked much more with the California medical system. Did you notice any differences in health or health patterns or even stigma in Texas versus California?
I've only been here 6 months.
Gotcha.
So maybe it's hard for me to answer that question. And this is a smaller area, so I'm sure LA or SF are very different.
Totally.
But no, I think as far as, you know, that particular situation and the psychiatric meds, every psychiatrist is a little bit different. Every doctor is a little bit different. I mean, there are certainly physicians that are much more aggressive in putting a pill in front of someone and saying, try this. And there's some that are more measured and take it slow. So it's hard to say. I don't think it speaks to any sort of bigger pattern of care. And in the urology population, honestly, like, my patients here are not that different than my patients in Texas.
Yeah. So we mentioned kind of more men being comfortable coming into a urology clinic and talking about stuff. Do you still deal with clients that you have to maybe help through the process or you know, work around their awkwardness or kind of situations like that?
Not a ton. There's certainly a handful. And you just kind of have to listen and kind of tease out what they're trying to tell you and then ask the right questions to follow up on that. But then, you know, there's plenty of men that are just super open about it. I think maybe by the time that you get to 50 or 60, you don't care what 35-year-old sitting across from you, you know, thinks about you. You're here to try to get a problem solved.
Right.
Guys, looks like we just lost them right now. I don't know. It looks like it's just a bit of a technical error. We're going to come back in just a second with Buck Brush's prostate exam. Yep, it's happening here on 91.3 FM KSPR as we fix this connection issue.
It's a different atmosphere and it's a different ecosystem in healthcare now with these kind of actors around.
Pranav, thank you so much. We're going to head to a break in just a minute and then come back with my exam. Is there any quick 20-second health advice that if you could pass across the radio waves or your message or your shout out, who would it be to? What would you say?
Yeah, health advice, just be proactive about it. I mean, don't wait until something becomes a problem. Take an active role in your own health. Your doctor's here to help investigate things you know, as needed, but you know, they can't save something that's been going on for 5 or 10 years. I mean, you have the chance now to, you know, make a change for your life into the future.
All righty. We are going to be right back here on Radio Party.
Second.
Thanks. Think vaping's just harmless clouds? Not so fast. E-cigs can mess with your lungs, your energy, and your brain, making it harder to focus on school, sports, or even chill out. And nicotine? It's super addictive and tough to shake once it grabs hold. But you've got backup. Real tools, free support, and people who get it. You don't have to go through it alone. Visit slocounty.gov/quit. Proudly brought to you by the Slo County Public Health Department.
Support for KCPR comes in part from Slow Brew Rock, a local concert venue and brewery with a tap room and outdoor seating. Slow Brew Rock is located by the Slo Airport, and upcoming shows and events can be found at slowbrew.com/events.
Support for KCPR comes from the California Mid-State Fair. This year's fair is being held July 15th to July 26th, featuring Megadeth, Treaty Oak Revival, Chris Stapleton, and recently announced Lainey Wilson. Tickets are currently on sale now at midstatefair.com.
Well, if I sound far away here, Radio Party, it's because I am. We are prepped and ready to go. I'll let Dr. Dadich maybe give a little explanation of what's going down.
Yeah, so we'll just do a basic male genital urinary exam. We'll be examining testes, spermatic cord, which is the cord that attaches to the testicle. It has some critical structures in it. The penis scrotal area. And then, you know, usually for a young man, you know, rectal exam is not a routine part of the exam. But Jeremy said he really wanted to experience this, so we're going to do a rectal exam as well.
Awesome. We're very excited. And thank you guys again for participating in this so we can talk about men's health and make sure these college students are starting to pay attention to it as we get older here.
Please be as descriptive awesome. As possible.
Alrighty. You.
So Jeremy, I'll just go over my, you know, like I'll treat you like any other patient that comes into clinic. So I'll say, okay, now we're going to do a genitourinary exam. I'll just have you bring your underwear down to about your knees. You know, this may be weird, but it shouldn't hurt. We're going to be examining the testes, the spermatic cord, and then just getting a general sense of the genitourinary area. So I'm going to scoot up here. I'll have you lift your shirt up a little bit. First, I'm just going to start with the lower abdomen. Okay if I begin the exam?
Yeah, 100%.
Any pressure, pain, new bulges here?
No pain.
You know, if a patient is uncircumcised, I'll always ask them, are you able to retract your foreskin okay? Are there any issues with that? And then we'll move on to the testes exam. So, Jeremy, I'm going to examine the right testicle first. Like I said, may feel a little weird, but this shouldn't hurt. So what I'm examining for, just the general feel of the testicle. You know, testicular cancer is typically a young man's disease. So we want to make sure that you don't feel anything hard or nodular there. I actually recommend that all men do a monthly self testicular exam in the shower, like from age 20 to 40. Then we're going to move up to the spermatic cord. This is a cord that sits on top of the testicle and it carries some critical structures. There's veins in there, there's the artery to the testicle, and there's also the tube that carries sperm. So just making sure that all of that feels normal. Some men can have varicose veins in the spermatic cord that can, you know, have changes to fertility, testicular function, and sometimes cause pain. I'm gonna move on to the left side. So as I move on to the left side, I'm just looking for testicular symmetry, making sure that I, once again, don't feel anything abnormal, anything nodular, and then again, just feeling that spermatic cord, making sure that I feel the structures in there properly and that there's no discrete abnormality there.
Could you tell us a little bit about what the spermatic cord does?
And that's really it for the front end.
Sweet. So Kvechi Boy asked a question. Can you tell us about the spermatic cord? What is that doing? And then I'm going to ask a question of my own.
Yeah.
The shower exam, what would that look like?
Yeah, so the spermatic cord is a cord that attaches to the testicle that has a number of critical structures in it. Your testicles actually descend from the abdomen, you know, when you're developing. That's where they're created. They descend down into the scrotum. So the cord has the testicular artery. It has veins that bring back blood flow from the testes. And it has the vas deferens, which is the tube that carries sperm. So, critical structure for blood supply and for fertility function. And, I did a subspecialty in, male infertility. So there's some issues that can come up there, and I always do this exam on patients. The testicular self-exam in the shower, you know, the shower is just an easy place because your body's relaxed. You're probably taking a warm shower. It's probably not as easy to do in a cold shower. But you're just kind of encircling the testicle, feeling all around it, making sure that, you know, you don't feel anything that's rock hard or nodular, something that stands out, that's discreet. You know, if you do feel something abnormal, it's very reasonable to go get that checked out. And then an ultrasound is an easy test that's pretty cheap that gives you a great visual into the testicle.
Gotcha.
Wonderful. All right, Jeremy, this is the exam that you wanted. We're going to do the rectal exam now. I'll just have you lean over onto your elbows.
Okay, everybody, I am leaning over onto my elbows.
Your balls.
I'm going to put some lube on my hands. You know, it's going to make the exam much easier. And really what we're doing with this exam is feeling the prostate. Like we talked about a little bit earlier, Jeremy, I mean, lab testing has kind of usurped the rectal exam for evaluation of prostate cancer, but it's still something that we do. And for me, it's more so in select patients and older urologists. It's probably most guys that walk through the door. You're going to feel my hand. All right, I'm just going to create a little bit of space, and then I'm going to come in for the rectal exam. Let me know when you're ready.
Yes, I am ready.
All right.
Okay.
Just the lube here.
Everyone, the exam has begun.
Holy. Yeah.
Just feeling the prostate.
Molly.
It's you know, sits right in front of the rectum. You can easily feel it. I'm just sweeping my finger along it. That's it.
Okay.
That's it?
So we're all done.
What?
Woo! All
right, I'm gonna pass you some headphones as soon as you get your hands sanitized up. Another day at the office. There you go.
It's another day at the
office. Dr. Pranav Dadich, thank you so much for coming on. I want to give you a second to shout out anyone you want to shout out, if that's something you want to do.
Yeah, I'll just shout out this practice. There's some great doctors here at Urology Associates of the Central Coast. You know, it's serving the community. We're pretty much the only urology, you know, urologists in town, the only urology group in town. And healthcare here can be challenging, is what, you know, what a lot of my patients have told me and what I found out as well in just terms of healthcare providers. So, happy to be part of a good group. I mean, I appreciate you coming in and doing the podcast to just get a little bit more urology and men's health exposure. It's not a field that people really know about until they need it. But especially for younger men and, you know, men of all ages, actually, it's, you know, we have to be proactive about our health and, you know, urologists are kind of the doctors that lead a lot of that care, and that's why I like being part of the field. So, you know, I appreciate you coming by to the office.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming on. Kvetchy boy, any last questions, thoughts?
Just thank you again for doing that for us. We really appreciate it. We actually got to get out of here right now because the news is coming in.
There's nothing stronger than my privacy.
But we really appreciate it. Thank How you are you feeling, awesome. Buckbrush?
Yeah, man, my pleasure.
Well, we will be back tomorrow at 8 in the morning for the next episode of Radio Party, but for now, bye.
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 You lose your balance. You lose control.
Yeah.